Your brick and mortar fluctuation in sales is not a direct reflection of your future success. Whatever stress you're feeling or what you're going through right now is in no way, shape, or form an indicator of the success that you're capable of online. I've had so many boutiques where they're like about to throw in the towel with their brick and mortar, and then they're quadrupling, 10 timesing their revenue when they scale online.
So, welcome to the Ecom Growth Show, where we cut through the chaos of ecom growth and show you how to build a business that scales and supports the life that you actually want. I'm your host, Brittany, former boutique owner turned growth strategist for ecom owners like yourself. And today I'm joined by co-founders of Shopanova and Bloom, Robbie Switzer and Danny Stafford. We created this podcast to pull back the curtain on what's really working to grow Shopify brands to consistent 100K plus months without burnout or guesswork. Whether you're getting traction or scaling fast, this show is designed to help you simplify, focus, and grow with purpose.
So if you are a boutique with a thriving brick and mortar or brick and mortar you're super, super proud of, and you're interested in scaling online, then this particular episode was 100% made and crafted for you. So a little bit of a background story. When I started coaching and consulting was back in 2020. And as many of you guys know who have survived that period of business, is when a lot of brick and mortar suddenly had to shut down. And they were forced with scaling online. And it was, okay, you know, we need to pivot. We need to grow and expand. We don't want to stop sales. But how do we do that? And a lot of them were kind of afraid of this journey starting out. But through it, they grew, they expanded, and they became a lot more comfortable online. And at the end of that time together, they not only had a thriving online business, but once their brick and mortar store opened, they also had a thriving in-store business as well. So I'm going to share with you guys some of the secrets, some of the behind the scenes struggles, mindset shifts, and just like practical stuff you're going to have to know if you're looking to scale online, if you have a brick and mortar.
And we'll just, me and Dan will just heckle the whole time.
We'll heckle you.
Just kidding. I'm super excited for this because even still, you know, definitely 2020, that was a huge thing in this. Like, it was mandatory. Everybody was scrambling and it was super scary where it was like, I have to be able to sell online or I'm not making any sales at all. But even today, a lot of the people we talk to are, they're just saying like, hey, we're having less foot traffic this year. And so it's kind of is still trending in that direction, although there was like a big swing that way in 2020. But I would say it's still super relevant even now, because I feel like it's just becoming more and more online. And at the same time, there's a way you can do it where, like you said, both storefronts, both point of sales are thriving.
Yeah, for sure. So Robbie and I actually were talking a little bit yesterday, and I was just communicating to him. I'm like, okay, brick and mortar, it's like if you own a brick and mortar, it is because you love it. It's because this is a passion project. It is not a get, you don't open a brick and mortar because you're like in a get rich scheme. That's not the heart of the type of people who own it. You're typically very outgoing. You love people. You had a need in your local community. You're probably super involved in your local community in some way, shape, or form. People in your community probably know your name. They know your boutique. They know you intimately. And you're typically probably doing really well. But a lot of times what goes on is there's some kind of natural cap. So I've worked with a ton of small boutiques and they literally do not have a big enough town to financially support their dreams is like a very practical logistical thing I've run into. Or I've had a boutique that almost had to shut down their brick and mortar because there was construction going on and they couldn't, without warning, their city just shut down their street and it went from thriving foot traffic to none at all. But many times brick and mortar owners, they want a thriving brick and mortar and they have that, but they also don't want to be capped by that physical restriction. And they're like, hey, I have this incredible brand. We have loyal customers, but like, how can we grow beyond this natural cap of our community? And what does that look like? So we're going to dive into that. Okay. So first of all, when you're talking about going from a brick and mortar to online, there's a couple of things that you guys should know. First of all, you're not just a store anymore. So when you're scaling online versus you're scaling in person, you're no longer just confined to a storefront. You're actually going to transition from just a store to a whole brand, which is like a really fun thing to do, but it can also feel really intimidating. So a brand is something where you have a little bit more of a story, you have a vision, you have a why, you have clear logo and brand and voice and all these things that kind of define you and break apart all of the noise in the space you see online. And it's like, oh, this is so-and-so's brand. So a brand is kind of like, I'm going to use Gap, for example. If you see their logo, their lettering, different font colors even, you can see from a distance, oh, that particular piece of clothing or that advertisement, that is Gap, right? Or whatever brand you're working with. Okay, so first of all, it's going to be you're transitioning from a store to a brand. Secondly, I love this one. When it comes to a brand, you also need a particular client persona, like a customer persona, right? And that is so core. So when I'm working with brick and mortars, they're like, Brittany, I don't know my client persona. I have 17-year-olds and 70-year-olds who shop with me or walk into my store and buy things, right? And one thing I always like to share is like, just because someone shops with you doesn't mean that's your ideal customer or ideal customer online. And a lot of times, your ideal customer, if you just take a mirror out and you shine it on yourself, it's going to be really close to you. So the kind of like problems that you have or the style that you have or the natural clothes that you're drawn to when you're buying. And then typically the age demographic is 10 years younger and 10 years older. And that's going to be your 20-year kind of swing and like overall demographic. So with your client persona, it's like a 20-year kind of range typically. And that person is a lot of times very, very similar to you. So that's something to consider when you're scaling online. A third thing, and this is probably my favorite thing ever, is one thing you have to start thinking about is how to translate your online, your in-person experience to an online experience. So when you have a new client or new customer walk through your storefront, right? What kind of words are you saying to them? How are you making them feel? How do you want your customer to feel when they enter in your store? Okay, so get that into consideration. And then when it comes to like your Instagram bio, the type of images or words that you're using in your Instagram reels or copy or TikTok or your ads or even on your website, those things should kind of like translate over. So I typically do an activity and it's just like, okay, you know, like, how do you want someone to feel? How do they feel? What kind of customer feedback do you have? And then we kind of base that information and kind of help you with your actual branding so you can communicate that more clearly and be really confident about it online.
One thing I would say too, I feel like for a lot of people, the thought of like, oh man, I have an online store or I have a brick and mortar store. I have my boutique and it's awesome. Now I need to go and create a brand. Like, how am I going to come up with all this stuff? Like, how am I going to figure out what logos, what fonts, what colors, what words do I say? How do I, like you said, translate all of this online? That process is more of pulling stuff out of you that typically already exists than it is about making up new things. Because the truth is, there already is, your brand already exists inside you and inside of your store. The trick is distilling that down into something that you can do at scale. Because your brand is basically just, that's relationship building at scale. And when you run ads, you can amplify that even further. But that's how you're able to go from just being like this small town boutique to an online brand who's actually putting their values and their beliefs and their styles and all these different things that they stand for. You're able to amplify that out across the entire country. So it's a super cool thing, but it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go and make all that up. A lot of times that already exists inside of you. It's just a distillation process normally.
Yeah, for sure.
Brittany, another thing I have a question on that we can maybe, you know, bookmark, but product selection seems like a big one. And along with that is like profit margins, because we were just talking to a boutique owner. They relied primarily in-store sales, and they were doing like 50 or 60K a month, but with rent, employees, inventory management, and profit margins, even though she was doing $600,000 a year, she was very transparent and said, I still don't pay myself anything from this business, so I need to transfer online. Mm-hmm. But how do you kind of navigate the product selection as well in that conversation and making sure you have enough margin to even make it work?
Yeah, that's the fun part about a brick and mortar and why I emphasize it's typically a passion project for most boutique owners, because that's the case pretty much across the board. What's super interesting is online, we see a variation of a reality that someone is living. So a lot of times we'll see, you know, like the highlight reels for a lot of boutiques. What's pretty cool is when I'm talking to people one-on-one, I get to kind of hear like the good, the bad, the ugly, the behind the scenes. And that's a pretty common thing. So I talked to one particular boutique owner on the outside, super successful. She owned six different brick and mortars. She was a multi-million dollar business. And when I talked to her about her finances, she had a debt load of owing $10,000 a week. And she was constantly in the red and was in a complete panic, right? So getting this figured out as soon as possible is really key. Some things that are typical mistakes that I've helped boutique owners with is they get locked into lease prices and agreements that are substantially higher than what their business can afford. When you're talking about overhead, it's not just the inventory investment, it's the actual cost of the lease. So I've had multiple boutique owners I've worked with renegotiate terms with their landlord or get out of their lease early so they could be in a more financially doable lease agreement somewhere else. So that's probably one of the top things I've run into with boutique owners who own brick and mortars and how I've helped them navigate through that. When it comes to clothing and margins, it's really good when you're creating a client persona to know the windows in which your client will buy certain items. So, for example, there's typically a scale for how much your ideal customer will spend for a shirt versus a bottom or a dress or a layer. So I typically like to reverse engineer, like, hey, are they more a budget buyer? Are they mid-level? Are they more top tier? And then what specifically is that range that your customer will definitely buy at? And then when you go to market, this is the tricky part. Market is like the best place for shiny object syndrome. Because you can see something cute and it's like, girl, you like it, but it's out of your budget and it's not profitable. So if you stick to your windows of your buying margins for those different categories, you can reverse engineer at market. Like, okay, if I buy this $14 shirt, my upsell is blank amount. That's within my customer buying whatever. It's good to go. We're good to go, right? But let's say you find a shirt and it's $50 wholesale per piece, but you know your customer isn't going to buy a shirt for more than $75, well, then that's out, if that makes sense. That's kind of one way I reverse engineer, like, what to buy and how to put your prices versus what you purchase at market, and that's a way to maintain your margins. Do you follow
exactly what you're shooting for? No, that makes sense. But what are you shooting for? Because I see a lot of people just reselling even like name brand stuff, and they're only able to get like 20% margins, which just doesn't work out well.
No. Okay. So typically I like to be at like, you have to be above 50% margins, first of all. So if you're just doubling the amount of your wholesale, that's a start, but that's not really where you should be. I like to be at least 5-2, and then some products that are like mainstream that you're scaling would be 3 times the cost of your wholesale. It's typically where I like to be, between like 3 times the cost. So if you buy that shirt for $14 or $15, it'd be $45. So at least you have some margin in there to profitably scale. A lot of times, though, boutique owners are really scared of charging the amount that they need to charge, because either they're buying too high of a wholesale price, or there's a boutique in their brick and mortar down the street with the same product who constantly undercuts them. This is a huge part of why scaling online and your brand and your positioning is so important, because if you have the right brand and positioning, like, it kind of eliminates local competition too, which is another thing that brick and mortars run into a lot. So,
but I like what you're saying, when you're picking things out and the shirt costs $25 wholesale, you have to be honest with yourself. Will people pay $70, $75 for this shirt? The answer is no. Maybe keep looking.
Yeah. And it's not people in general, because there is a consumer for every market. It's, will my people purchase this, which is, can be different than would I purchase it too, because sometimes your buying habits are different than your client persona. But
yeah. And just to really bring the positioning example home, so you have your boutique, there's a boutique down the street from you selling similar products, you're always in kind of like this price battle. Just so happens that one boutique who in this situation we worked with, it's like they have some plus sizes available, and she noticed, like, you know, people like these. Well, at some point she really doubled down on that in her online store, and it became kind of the go-to place for plus sizes. And it, like, everything about the store, the ads, the way she was talking, was all about curating this experience so that it was easy and comfortable for people who are shopping for plus sizes. Once that happened, there was no comparison. Even if the prices were a little bit higher, it's like, well, am I going to go to this general store or to the one that's like built specifically for me? So they go there, and it actually helped to command a reasonable or even a higher price by having that differentiation, that positioning piece in place.
Yeah, for sure. I've worked with, there's another boutique. She's like one of my favorite clients ever, honestly. It's Finley & Co. Her name's Jennifer. She's super cool. Or Jenny. And when we first started working together, she really was unclear on her brand, but she had a really good community and a really good brick and mortar. And one of the positioning points that we used together is, she was like, I'm a Midwest mom. That's who I am. Like, that's my demographic. So we doubled down on particularly like Midwest moms, which is niche enough to expand her boutique, but it's not too left or right. And then we were communicating about like, okay, like, how do your customers feel? Like, she just had a very relaxed atmosphere. She's like, I want all my customers to walk in and feel like they made a friend that day, and that they can just like let their hair down and like just be at, we just really like a relaxed atmosphere. So like right now, her Instagram bio is, where Midwest moms shop, let your hair down and make a friend, amongst other things. The latest trends that fit everybody, because she's a size inclusive boutique. So we like doubled down on what was already happening in her brick and mortar to expand that online. And she has a really incredible, thriving online business. She was able to move her brick and mortar to a bigger location because her business was thriving so much. I'm just like super proud of her in all ways, shapes and forms, and her team and what they've been able to do. But but that's just like one example. I also worked with a couple different clients who their in-store experience was denim and jeans, and like that was their staple. They sold other things, but they were really known for like, if you don't know what jeans to get, we'll help you. And we worked on setting up a question bot slash someone on their team would get back to people online to go through their in-person process, but online, on how to find the right fit for somebody and give them their jean size.
I love it.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, or do you have other information you're wanting to cover? So if I'm just like putting myself in the shoes of a boutique owner, it's like, yeah, I have in-store sales. I do want to make more income. I do feel limited by the foot traffic and I want to go online. What, I guess realistically, like what does that process look like for me? Can I take my current inventory management and point of sale and like connect that to something online so that these things aren't getting crossed? Do I need to allocate a back room of my store just for inventory and shipping? And do I just have employees unboxing that, logging that on the website? Like, I know marketing and sales. I don't know what it actually takes to like, and I'd imagine like if you are running a boutique, like you probably have to pay people to run the counter, but I'm guessing there's several hours throughout the day where no one's coming in. It's like, well, they probably could be photographing items, uploading to the website, packing orders, shipping orders. But I guess I just don't know, what does that typically look like for somebody going online?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it happens in stages. So there is a practical getting started, and then there's headed towards the ideal. And those are different things, and they look different for each company, okay? So like, yeah. I'm starting with a brick and mortar. Let's say they're moving $30,000 a month and they have a team of 5. That'd be like a healthy general team. First things first is I recommend you need a Shopify site. You need a good theme. You need clear images and an easy like filter and search functionality to have your like online store getting to get started. When it comes to team, initially getting started, you're going to have to cross train between your front team girls who are like running the store and fulfillment. And by fulfillment, I mean packaging and shipping your orders.
Or guys, girls or guys.
Girls or guys, whoever, your people. So you're going to have to cross train pretty much everybody on the team so that they can post online for you, they can do stories, and they can ship. Those are like the two big sins, okay? When it comes to the logistics of shipping and storage, a lot of brick and mortar stores, they all start with unified inventory in person and on Shopify. That does get tricky during high sales periods, because when you have a person at checkout who buys something and then someone buys it on Shopify, occasionally you'll have items sell out or like oversell. That's a part of it, but it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. And then you would need a clear shipping area of some kind where you have a system and process. You have a computer, your printer, and then your shipping supplies right there. So it's super easy for anyone to ship. And then there should also be some form of an SOP or standard operating procedure, ideally with photos. So literally anyone on your team can do it. Okay. So that's kind of storage and shipping, et cetera. That's where everybody starts, where they typically evolve. So when your online store starts scaling beyond the brick and mortar, then it's really tricky to have your front end people also be shipping. Then you would need a person that their main role or two people is shipping and fulfillment at that point. So when you're scaling beyond $30,000, $40,000 months online and you're running a brick and mortar, you typically have to do that. And then a lot of times you're going to need more inventory than your brick and mortar can actually hold. So then at that point, a lot of times there's a warehouse that is dedicated to inventory and fulfillment. It's kind of like the 2.0 like version of where I started. There was one more thing I wanted to mention that was like an honorable mention about team. Nope. Okay.
Oh, it's so good though. Just even the overarching picture of what it actually takes. Like it's not crazy. Like there is steps.
Yeah.
Like initially you're doing it kind of bootstrapping. It's in the back of the store, whatever. But it's like, yeah, it's a website. It's an SOP. And it's kind of some inventory management. And anyways,
I have one other tip for brick and mortars. So another thing I recommend is when you're scaling online is there's 1 to 2 days a week that your brick and mortar probably isn't bringing in enough sales to cover utilities and cost of your employees. So it's pretty much across the board for every brick and mortar I've worked with. It's typically Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, or like lower retail days. I highly request taking 1 day to shut down your brick and mortar at least and have that be an online processes day. So before, a lot of times your main focus was, okay, I need to merchandise the brick and mortar. I need to steam and put everything out. That process is going to change when you're scaling online because the new process is we're going to get inventory in, we're going to unbox, we're going to check it, we're going to tag steam, we're going to take photos, measurements, put descriptions online, and then launch it in store. So a lot of times, instead of like launching your new inventory in the store first, I typically recommend launching it online first, getting your online to have first dibs, and then a consistent drop period before your weekend, typically like on Thursday or Friday, for your in-person store customers, if that makes sense. Because it is a lot of overwhelm with like systems and processes. When you have that shutdown, that's also like a good time to prep for like a live sale, create all your bulk content for that week, and kind of have yourself and another team member or so kind of do that when the brick and mortar shut down. Typically, that works really, really well when they're just getting started.
That's such a good idea because a lot of people are like, I don't even have 3 hours in my week to work on this. Like, when can I do this? And so I love that. And it's like, just find the slowest day of your week and then invest your time over here, and it's going to pay dividends in the future.
Oh, one more thing from a practical standpoint as the business owner. There are different time buckets that I recommend. So when you go to your brick and mortar, don't expect to get any online work done. Unless your brick and mortar shut down, expect to engage with your team and customers. And that is a bucket. But whenever I'm helping them scale online, they need time at home if they have a silent place at home or at a cafe of clear, concentrated time, like office time that is separate from their brick and mortar or away from their kids so that they have time to actually focus. That's a pretty big tip. So for you guys who are listening, like bookmark that one because that's going to save you a lot of headaches and a lot of frustration down the road.
This is so much value, Brittany.
Drinking from the fire.
If I'm just being honest with you, as I'm sitting here, I'm like, dude, we need an offer where we literally fly to people's brick and mortars, help them set this up, build their site, take their photos, set up their SOP for shipping, and train their team, whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something we'll do in the next year or two. But yeah, it's so good. It's such a great opportunity for people to be able to just expand their reach. Because there's people that have so much value to give, but it's like if you're just limited to the people that walk in your store every day, it's hard.
Yeah.
And that's always changing. So this just gives you options and you can run both. I mean, we've had clients that have completely scaled out of the brick and mortar and are totally online now And they like that because now they're dropping kids off at soccer practice, hanging out with babies, and they're like managing employees from the warehouse and running stuff from their computer at home. So it's a little bit more flexible in that way.
For sure. I do want to end on a word of encouragement for those brick and mortar boutiques who are listening right now. One, your brick and mortar fluctuation in sales is not a direct reflection of your future success. So whatever stress you're feeling or what you're going through right now is in no way, shape, or form an indicator of the success that you're capable of online, okay? I've had so many boutiques where they're like about to throw in the towel with their brick and mortar, and then they're quadrupling, 10 timesing their revenue when they scale online, okay? So it's not a direct reflection. Number two, you got this. You don't need to be best at everything. You don't need to know everything. You don't need to have all the answers figured out immediately. You got this, right? You don't need to be some tech guru. If you go to Shopify, you feel overwhelmed. It's perfectly normal. It's a part of the process that means you're evolving and growing, okay? So you totally got it. And number three, I feel like this is a calling. I know it sounds so funny, but you really have to feel it and be bought into like, hey, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to try scaling online and let's see how it goes. And that you do kind of need that buy-in for yourself and kind of have that inkling or that calling. So I just encourage you to follow that calling because there's such incredible big things on the other side of you feeling just a little uncomfortable for a season.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. And we've seen it so many times too. I love this. Boutique owners go and then they get so much success that their husband has to be like imported into the business, or some people that have like retired their husbands, which is just, it's super fun and cool to see. But I also love seeing like, as the online grows, they create a role for kind of like this husband wife team. And then like, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of examples where we have, you know, husbands running the ad accounts, and I don't know, it's just cool. It's fun to see that collaboration. And they're doing it all as a family.
I think collectively, though, like why I'm so hyped up right now is because I have seen the most drastic amounts of life change for individuals and their families. And I've seen people's lives go from like overwhelmed, chaotic, stress, like how am I going to pay the rent and the lease, you know, to, oh my gosh, I'm thriving. And like we're taking a week off and having a vacation, and like, my team is managing everything and it's running smoothly and I'm making money on the beach. Like I've just seen some like crazy things happen with clients and boutique owners, and it's just the coolest thing ever. And I wish that for every single boutique owner listening right now. So.
Man, sister.
Good, Jen.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you for being here. It's great to hang out with you. And if you ever want to get in touch, just reach out. We're around, we're available. We love connecting with brand owners. We love helping brands grow. And if you have any questions or any topics you'd like us to cover, let us know in the comments. We'd love to do that as well.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ecom Growth Show, where clarity replaces chaos and strategy fuels freedom. If today's episode sparked any idea or gave you a clear next step, we'd love for you to subscribe, share it with a fellow brand owner, and leave a review so more entrepreneurs can grow with intention, not overwhelm. For more resources and real talk on scaling your Shopify brand the smart way, follow us on Instagram @ShopNova. Until next time, keep growing with purpose.